Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network and everybody who makes our show possible. All of our sponsors, whether that be Built Bar, Rock Auto, Postmates, whoever the case may be, the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you your favorite teams every single day. And Braves fans, we're coming at you from it's a little bit of a weird day. So I didn't get an episode up yesterday. I kind of wanted to let some things percolate. So first off, let's talk about the good. Sunday, Kyle Wright goes out there and has an exceptionally good start. This was the best start he's ever had as a professional, and actually the second best start for a Braves pitcher this season, as he goes 6 1/3, only allows one hit, one walk, strikes out six, no runs earned or otherwise given up. And for Kyle Wright, yeah, it came against the Mets, and the Mets haven't been that good this year at 24-29. But for Kyle Wright, it was a huge, huge continuation of steps in the right direction, as he seems to have really taken to moving over towards the first base side of the pitching rubber. He's kind of altered his pitching a little bit. He's not going so heavy on the slider for his breaking pitch. We saw him use a lot more of the curveball, which I think is going to be a lot more important to him if he continues to pitch on the first base side of the rubber. His fastball command has been much better, and he just seems a lot more confident. Now, I know we like to scoff at pitcher wins, and as a statistic, it's essentially useless as far as evaluating how good a pitcher is. There's so many other statistics that actually have real meaning. But for a young guy like Kyle, you can't really ignore that getting that first win out of the way is a big deal, because players, you know, no pitcher wants to lose or wants to get a no decision and be like, yeah, well, at least I pitched well, even though I got a no decision. Every pitcher wants to get wins. Everybody wants to win every time they go out there. It's a big deal. Whether or not that we recognize that as a big deal as far as the statistic or not is totally separate from how the player views these things. And for Kyle Wright, it looks like getting that first win may have settled him down a little bit, may have mentally allowed him to focus a little bit and be like, hey, I do belong up here. I can win at the big league level. And it's nice to see, you know, a win in that column instead of zeros. So really liked what I saw from Kyle. Love that he was able to keep himself in the game for a while. Got into the seventh inning and didn't throw 100 pitches. Threw 98 pitches and 60 of them were strikes. For Kyle, that is absolutely fantastic. That's what Kyle's going to have to do to succeed at the big league level. Because while he can get some strikeouts, I have my doubts as to whether he's going to be a big strikeout guy at the big league level. I don't think his fastball is necessarily overpowering. I do love the movement I've seen on it, and if he can spot it up, then that doesn't matter as much. You can be a guy that can subsist on about 8 Ks for 9 and be able to get some ground balls when you need it to. Big deal is he didn't give up a home run this time. Really saw some really, really good results to go along with the good process that he's been showing lately. And for a guy like Kyle Wright, and for a lot of Braves fans who'd kind of given up on Kyle Wright, this was a big-time showing. It was a big-time continuation, especially as we get ready to head into the postseason, where it looks like Kyle Wright is going to have to play a much bigger role than any of us anticipated him playing, as the news came down yesterday that Cole Hamels, just fresh off coming off the injured list, is back onto the injured list now with shoulder fatigue. It was the shoulder that kept him out early. It was the shoulder that hurt him last year. And then it was the triceps injury that had kept him on the IL before this one. It looks like the shoulder is back up to hurting. Felt some discomfort after throwing yesterday. Told Alex Anthopoulos he immediately got put on the 10-day IL. And it looks like, according to Alex Anthopoulos, that they are not planning on having him on the postseason roster at all. I believe they've already petitioned to have him taken off the postseason player pool so they can replace him with Bryce Wilson, who was called up. Bryce Wilson will be starting tonight. And then we'll have Max Fried on Wednesday, I believe. Wednesday or Thursday. I believe it's Wednesday. Max Fried will go Wednesday. But for Cole, it's a big-time loss. I wasn't going to count on him for much. I mean, it's hard to get your spring training in a playoff game. He threw that one time against Baltimore. Didn't look great, but didn't look bad. It looked like he was getting his stuff kind of where he wanted to, but definitely looked like he tired there towards the end. I wasn't counting on him to be able to go 6 or 7 innings in the postseason. You were just kind of hoping that you could get 3 or 4 out of him before he turned it over to the bullpen. Quite honestly, I don't really think he was ready to be pitching. I think it was more the fact that the Braves had nobody else, and Cole decided that he would, you know, maybe rush the rehab a little bit and start finishing up the rehab in live games, and it just didn't work out for him. And for Alex, this is one of the few one-year deals that really hasn't worked out. You can talk about, you know, Jose Bautista. You can talk about Bartolo Colon or, you know, some of these guys. But the Cole Hamels deal, I'm not angry at that deal. I mean, $18 million is not nothing, but, I mean, it was already spent. It wasn't like it took this team over the top. It's not like it prevented the team from spending on anybody else. The Braves had plenty of money to throw around, and it was a worthwhile investment. Now, we can all be upset that, Cole as a Brave didn't work out very well or work out at all, if you want to be brutally honest. But again, it was a worthwhile endeavor. I don't ever think of one-year deals as bad deals. It's nearly impossible for a one-year deal to be a bad deal. This wasn't a bad deal. It was a worthy risk. I think that a lot of people maybe are equating the deal itself as a way of saying because nothing else got done, then it's a bad deal, but they're kind of separate. You should hold those separate in your mind. Taking a one-year gamble on Cole Hamels, who has been really good when on the field, and brings a veteran presence to a really young rotation, was not a bad idea. $18 million seems like a lot of money, but over the course of one season, not going to make or break you. Isn't going to affect the Braves from re-signing anybody else, so it's one and done. It was a worthwhile investment. Just didn't work out. Sometimes things don't work out. It doesn't mean that it's a bad deal. It doesn't mean it was an awful decision. Just sometimes you roll the dice and they come up snake eyes. And unfortunately for the Braves and for Cole Hamels, that's what happened in 2020. Now, it does leave you in a very precarious spot as you head into the playoffs. You've got Max Fried, you've got Ian Anderson, who didn't look phenomenal his last time out, but wasn't horrible either. Had a really rough had a rough inning again, kind of all around the strike zone a little bit. The walks kind of crept up on him, but as he's shown the ability to be able to do, was able to bear down and get himself a successful outing nonetheless, which is something that we'll talk about in the second segment with last night's starter Oscar Noah, who kind of followed the same line there. But for Ian, he went on Saturday, went 4 2/3, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, 4 walks, and 8 strikeouts. And while the 8 strikeouts are nice, I believe that's 2 outings he's had 4 walks, and that's kind of the thing with Ian. Now, he had 3 walks in the first inning. Matter of fact, I believe he walked the first 3 batters he saw, loaded the bases up, gave up the runs there, and was able to pitch himself out and have a decent showing afterwards. But that's kind of the thing with Ian. That was the thing in the minor leagues. Sometimes his command can get away from him, and it'll get away from him for a few batters at a time. The good thing about him is he's able to kind of set that inning aside and not have it carry over, and he's able to work through it and continue to go. And that's very, very important when you're talking about a young guy, or really just any pitcher in particular, the ability to take bad things happening and to be able to push them forward and to forget about them. So really, really good for Ian to do that. He's going to have to be phenomenal because he's going to be the number two in the postseason. You've got Max Fried is going to go number one. And again, it's going to basically be everything is going to be relying on Max Fried. Max has to go out there and win game one because you aren't going to want to get into a situation where you're going to have to go with Ian Anderson, Kyle Wright, and then a bullpen game to win you a series. This is going to have to be the Max Fried show. Hopefully he's able to get the velocity back up because he's still been down velocity-wise a little bit. But he's still been pitching okay. Been struggling a little bit an inning here or there. We'll see if he can clean that up tomorrow and hopefully get right for the postseason. But as it is, we're going to go ahead and take our first break here. When we come back, we're going to take a look at last night in Oscar Noah's outing and how he did, how he maybe factors into this playoff positioning. We'll talk about tonight's starter and Bryce Wilson and what he needs to do in order to succeed. And we'll talk a little bit more about Freddie Freeman and why he should be your MVP of the 2020 season. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this on Locked On Braves. The world may have taken a break in 2020, but your business needs did not. You have to keep moving forward, and that means you need to hire the right people for your business. Indeed understands, and they're here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world for a reason. They're number one because they get you what you need fast. The best people, the fastest time possible. Unlike those other sites, Indeed gives you full control over your hiring process. But what if you're a guy looking for a new job? Never fear, because with tools like Sponsored Jobs, Indeed has found a way to help the job seeker with applications shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed every single month, Indeed can help you get the hire you need, the right person you're looking for, just like they have for over 3 million businesses worldwide. And right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post. That means you get more quality candidates faster, and that's the name of the game. Just go to Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB to get the best offer anywhere. That's Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Hey everybody, it's Dylan from Locked On Braves here to tell you about my good friends at RockAuto.com. Your car is a very big part of your life. It gets you everywhere you need to go, from work to pleasure. Basically, everything in your life revolves around your car. Sometimes cars need to get fixed. So my good buddies over at RockAuto.com know this, and they make it easy for you. They're a family-owned business
serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They've got everything from engine control modules, brake parts, taillights, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Just write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Go to rockauto.com today. Hey everybody, welcome back to Locked On Braves. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of this second segment, just want to take the opportunity to give a special shout-out to a listener that I found out today who really enjoys the Locked On Braves podcast, Locked On podcast in particular, but in particular the Locked On Braves portion, so Austin Day. Thank you very much, Austin. I really do appreciate any sort of fan interaction. Really, really cool to hear that you like the show. I really do appreciate it very, very much. So, thanks for enjoying the show, and thanks for letting it be known that you like the show. For the Atlanta Braves, we did see Oscar Anoa'i go last night. After this was the coming off the heels of a really, really strong performance against Baltimore, the best of his major league career, before he got shut down due to some back stiffness in the fourth inning there. So we were all looking to see how Oscar would follow that one up, and it did not start out very well for him. It started out pretty rocky. First inning comes out, and he gives up three runs in the first inning, kind of got BABIP to death a little bit, but also gave up a fair number of pretty decently hit ground balls, just kind of in the wrong area things. Only goes three innings, five hits, the three earned runs, one walk, and one strikeout. But I wanted to take a special note. Now, he ended up throwing 54 pitches, 39 of them strikes, so it's not like he was really struggling to throw strikes. He actually got nearly every hitter to a two-strike count, which was very, very nice to see. The issue, as it's been for many of these young Braves, these young starters, has been putting them away with two strikes. And for Oscar, the Marlins were able to string together a number of two-strike hits, a lot of singles. Nobody really roped him for any extra base hits or really anything like that. There might have been one double in there. But I do want to praise him for finding a way to settle down after that first inning when it looked like he'd be gone within an inning and a inning and a third, inning and two-thirds. He found a way to get through that third inning. Didn't allow another walk. Only had that one walk, which I like to see. For Oscar, that's always going to be my thing for him. Some days you're just going to get beat. Some days your stuff is just not going to be at its best. And for Oscar, his slider was not its best yesterday, but he worked well with the fastball, getting the second straight start that he went using the four-seam instead of the two-seam, and it just seems to play a lot better for him. It doesn't have the movement that his two-seam has. His two-seam has a ridiculous amount of movement, but I also think that movement might work to his detriment right now, as he doesn't really have the command to really control that two-seam and be able to throw it for strikes. So trying to put it on the corners and keep it out of the middle of the plate has resulted early this season in him struggling to consistently throw strikes with that two-seam. So he switched to the four-seam. He's able to run that up to 98, sit it pretty consistently at 95, 96, and it plays off his slider a little bit better, which will sit around 87. Sometimes it'll be down to 85, but it's usually around 87, 88 miles an hour. And he's getting a lot of vertical drop with that slider right now, so it's almost in between a slider and a curve. Now, we've seen it when it's on. It's a beautiful pitch. It's really, really good for swings and misses. Last night, he wasn't able to get that hard bite out of the bottom of the zone, so it was kind of staying center cut, kind of down around the knees, and the Marlins were able to go the other way with it a good bit, but able to hit it on the ground pretty hard and sneak it through and get a bunch of singles off of it. Some days, you just don't have your best stuff. And for Oscar, I was encouraged that he was able to work out of that and settle in for the last two innings of his outing. I was encouraged by the fact that he still only had one walk, which for Oscar, if he can keep the runners off the bases by means of walks and make the hitters earn it, then he's going to be fine. He's going to be a very, very good pitcher. He's got stuff. His stuff is some of my favorite in the system. I know there's some other guys and some guys that I really respect who aren't as high on his stuff as I am, but you know what? It's one of those guys that I'm willing to go out on a limb and say, I respect your opinion, but I'm going to keep going with mine. I think Waskar has some of the best stuff in the system. It's more just the ability to consistently harness that command. I think he's done a good job of that the last couple nights. Now, his command wasn't great last night, but he was in the strike zone, which I'll take that over no command of being out of the zone, because I am perfectly fine with you making hitters beat you. For a guy with Waskar's stuff, as he gets older and gets more experience and sharpens up a little bit at the big league level, you're much more willing to see him challenge and lose versus not challenge at all and give up that way, because his stuff is good enough to where he's not going to get beat a lot. And for the Marlins, they've been a plucky offense. They don't have a lot of power, but they do a lot of things really well, such as battle with two strikes and run the bases really well. So for Waskar, I do think there's some positive takeaways. It's not the outing he would have wanted. He did get pulled the game, not because of pitch count, which is what a lot of us thought when we watched that game. Got pulled because cracked his fingernail, a la Zach Wheeler. Cracked his fingernail and got pulled out of that. Hopefully he's fine for next week, because I do think Waskar is in the running. I don't know, not for a playoff spot, but certainly to be a guy that comes in meaningful innings in the playoffs as a guy that could be in that opener role or that second pitcher role in a bullpen game that we've seen him do so well this year. But for him, he's going to be able to stay healthy a little bit to put forth a five or six inning type of game if he's really looking to remain a starter. He's a guy that I think can be a really, really good start at the big league level. Now, as far as the Atlanta Braves, I think they've probably got him pinned as a multi-inning reliever type, and you're kind of starting him this year because you don't have many other options. But I'm a big fan of Waskar Noah. I think if he's given the opportunity and he's able to continue to improve that command, I think he can be one of the sneakiest starters out of this crop of young guys that the Braves have had. Don't forget, he's still 22, 23 years old. He's super, super young. So a lot more bright spots on the horizon for him. Would have liked to see a little bit better out of him last night, but I am happy that he only had one walk and that he was able to battle through some first inning damage. And the Braves were able to win the game anyway, which is really all that matters. Bryce Wilson, I mentioned, got the call up now that Cole Hamels is on the IL and his 10-year as a Brave looks to be done. For Bryce, important thing for him tonight is going to be to follow in the same footsteps and keep the ball in the strike zone. Make these hitters beat you. If he can do that, he's got an ugly 7.04 ERA. The whip is over 2, but it's over 7 2/3 innings, so it's a really small sample size. The walks and the strikeouts are the same at 6 apiece. You really want to see those walks come down, because Bryce is not the type of guy that's going to be able to succeed by putting a lot of runners on base. His fastball is a very flat fastball. His off-speed, his secondary pitches are not quite where they need to be to consistently get himself into trouble and get big leaguers out. He's going to have to do a better job at syncing those up. But his last time out, he looked pretty good. And for Bryce, we've seen in the minor leagues, he's got stuff. He's always run a high K rate through the lower minors up until about AAA. Doesn't walk a ton of guys. He's usually very aggressive and makes hitters beat him. So for Bryce, it's kind of that same thing. He's a guy that might take more lumps than some of these other guys because he doesn't have the stuff of a Kyle Wright or a Waskar Noah or the stuff of a Touki Toussaint. He's a guy that's going to rely on, he's going to have to rely heavily on command and placing the ball where he needs to put it. Despite the fact that he can run his fastball up to 96 or 97, it's not really an overwhelming type of fastball. The difference between overwhelming and just having speed, there is a difference. Overwhelming fastballs are guys like Ian Anderson's who look like it gets in on you much quicker and that are high strikeout type of pitches. Bryce doesn't have a huge whiff percentage on that fastball. Every once in a while, he'll run it by you if you're not expecting it, but that's why his changeup is going to be such an important pitch for him. If he's able to have that be a major league playable pitch, something to where he can at least throw it for strikes and get hitters off the fastball, then it'll make his fastball that much better. But for him, the key for tonight is going to be keep the walks down, get through 4 or 5, doesn't have to go 6 or 7, but get through 4 innings at the very least. Set your team up in a position where they're not going to have to run through the long relievers and get yourself out of there, get yourself and your team in a position to come out of there with a win. And just continue progressing. It doesn't have to be a perfect performance. You just want to take his last good outing and build off of that last good outing. And it's going to be a lot of the same things that we talk about with Waskar and a lot of the same things we talk about with Kyle Wright. A lot of these guys are in the same vein and the same issues with what they've had with each other. Now, I don't think Bryce is going to pitch his way to any playoff consideration. I think that ship's probably sailed. He might be on the roster now that Cole Hamels is gone, but I wouldn't expect him to get any meaningful run unless you're in a big-time or a big deficit one way or the other. But for Bryce, this is about rebuilding your chances and rebuilding your reputation going forward into 2021 and making sure that your name stays in the discussion of guys that are competing for a rotation spot or guys that are in the future plans for the Braves. So for Bryce, I'd like to see him go out there and pitch a good game, whether that means he He's able to go four and stay. Really, I just want to see him go at least four innings and keep it under three runs allowed. If he can keep the walks under two or three, I'd be really, really impressed with that, as well as keep this string up of not walking people. I know Ian had the four walks, but you take out that first inning and not a lot of help from the umpire that game. For the most part, the young guys have done a good job lately, the past couple weeks, of really curtailing the walks. And I'd like to see Bryce continue that trend. Focus on doing what you do to get these guys out and let these hitters get themselves out. You don't have to strike out every batter. You don't have to have perfect placement. You just have to challenge them to a spot that you have a higher percentage of winning. And for Bryce, that's going to be the name of the game. If he can stay low and outside with that fastball and then run it up and in, then you're going to be much better. If he can change eye levels efficiently, then Bryce can be an efficient pitcher. I'm looking forward to seeing that tonight. And I'm looking forward to see what the Braves do to Jose Urania. They're always able to knock him around the yard pretty hard. If he hits Acuna again, then, and I don't see the Braves hit somebody from the Marlins, we'll have a very different episode tomorrow. But for now, really looking forward to see the Braves can do tonight. As Freddie Freeman, I didn't really get a chance to talk about him today, as we're already almost at the 10-minute mark of this episode, this segment. I'm just going to say it like this. I'll talk tomorrow about Freddie Freeman, his MVP chances, because there really is nobody else but Freddie Freeman to be an MVP. So consider this to be an extended tease. We'll talk about Freddie Freeman tomorrow, I promise. We'll talk about Freddie and his MVP discussions. We'll talk about how Bryce looks tonight, and we'll talk about a little bit more else as we talk about the playoffs. But for now, thank you guys for tuning into the show. Really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really, really do appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.